Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Sanha program on Radio Islam International. It is now exactly 36 minutes past the hour of 7. Normally we speak into Maulana Bilal, but today we have a special guest, Uncle Mahmoud Muhammad Boulay, who is a member of the Jamiat al-Ulama South Africa. He is the chief inspector of Sanha, involved in halal since 1977. Also the national halal coordinator at the Muslim Prison Board. And at the moment he's with Sanha. Uncle Mahmoud, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Uncle Mahmoud, did I forget any other introductions to put there also?
That's good.
Our program today we're going to do is a Qurbani program. Alhamdulillah, we are today being the second already of Dhul Hijjah, with just about 8 days left before Qurbani. We have to perform our Qurbani here in South Africa. Uncle Mahmoud, we're going to go through a different masail, and at the end we're going to give the listeners about 5 minutes for questions and answers. So any questions that you have, note it down for now, and we will open the lines during the last 5 to 7 minutes. So that's the time that we're going to give you, the listeners, the opportunity to ask any questions. Uncle Mahmoud, let's get straight into the topic, the Qurbani program. The first question is... Let's explain the different species of animals that are permissible for Qurbani in today's day.
Nahmadu al-Sanni ala Rasulil Kareem amma ba'd. First of all, the three species that the Quran speaks about. The Quran speaks about Inna Allah ya'murukum an tathbahu baqara. Verily Allah Ta'ala has commanded you to slaughter the cow. So bulls, that's cattle, and buffaloes are included in this ambit of this ayat. Then as far as sheep are concerned, because it's Qurbani time now, we do know the history that Ibrahim alayhi salam supposed to, according to the dream, sacrifice his son. But this was replaced with a ram. So rams and sheep and goats come in the ambit of this ayat, وَفَدَيْنَا بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. That's the ayat that's used for that. And there's another species of animal, of course, is the camel. The Holy Quran speaks about فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ. Read namaz to your Rabb, and one har means to make nahar of the throat, that pierces the throat. So we see from the cattle, slaughter the cattle, in the case of camels, is pierce the throat of the camel. The reason for this is that the blood vessels in the case of the of cattle and sheep are further away from the food pipe and windpipe. So that necessitates slaughter. In the case of the camel, the blood vessels are very close to the food pipe and windpipe. That's why the Quran says, "Wanhar, make nahar of the camel." So those are the three species that are used for Qurbani.
Gee. Now normally we do know about the sheep, the cattle and the camels. However, we just go to the farms and we look for our sheep, we look for our cattle, we look for our camels. Isn't there a certain age that they have to be for us to choose first?
Yeah, we should be very careful when we go to a farmer. Of course, in the case of cattle, we don't want to open the mouth of the cattle. You get one kicker, you know all about it after that. Right, so you ask the farmer, they normally know how long they're keeping that cattle. So it should be 2 years old. And normally the two big teeth come out in front, or in the case of the cattle. In the case of sheep, they should be 1 year old. But in today's time, the way they feed these animals, they can look like 1 year old. So that's also permissible for Qurbani. And in the case of goats, I learned in the Siddhi of Abattoir from the veterinarians, they say that for it to be 1 year old, the two front teeth should be bigger than the other teeth and slightly split. In Afrikaans, they say chabasal. They call it chabasal. Those should be slightly split. If it's not like that as yet, then that goat is not yet 1 year old. So they should be 1 year old. In the case of camels, they should be 5 years old. And that normally we don't have here in South Africa, but inshallah we'll try sometime. We did two last time at Lanija Livestock, but alhamdulillah, they are very massive, awesome animals, the camels. Mm-hmm. And they go down very fast after the nahar, that you the piercing of the throat.
See, Mahmoud, what has Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us regarding the humane treatment of animals? We know that today's time we have the SPCA that is always coming and checking this in. It's inhumane that we're slaughtering because of the blood that is flowing. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teach us?
Mulana and the listeners, we should be very careful how we treat animals. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us so many things. In fact, we should teach the SPCA about humane treatment to animals. Inna la kataba al-ihsana ala kulli shayin, Rasulullah SAW taught proficiency in all things. So when you slaughter well. So we should be careful when we... There are two things in humane treatment of animals. One is physical maltreatment. Like when we pull these animals so in the mud and in the water, in the dirt, people pull them. And another thing, the way they drop them down on the ground, how long they took to take to slaughter that animal also. Very long sometimes. This causes trauma to the animal. And besides that treatment to animals, that physical treatment, Rasulullah SAW, our teachings are so fine that even psychological treatment to animals, like for example, sharpening the knife in front of the animal, Rasulullah SAW calls that one death already. Huh? And I remember we do at Darul Zakaria, this is our 32nd year, inshallah, this year, of Qurbani. We started with late Mullana Yaqub, then late Mullana Ganshi, now I'm Baqi Billah, I'm the one left now in Zakaria. So what happened once, a man came and he put down his sheep with his family. But he was asking, where's Ahmad? So they went to look for Ahmad now, the one of the sons. In that crowd at the madrasa, after quite a long time, they found Ahmad. In the meantime, that animal is laying on the floor. Mm. When they brought Ahmad to the slaughter area, to the mazbah, now the father said, now let's read the takbir. That takbir was like Tarawih. So long takbir they read. And this animal is laying on the floor. So that's another psychological maltreatment to animals. So we should be sure that when we treat animals, we should treat them well. I remember we were called, as SPCA told us, to go to one farm in Benoni somewhere. And there the people were hitting the oxen with irons. They were putting sticks in their back to move to the slaughter area. And that is now totally out, completely inhumane. So alhamdulillah, we made shifarish for them and so on there. And we found out that now after the following year, alhamdulillah, they treated the animals proper. So we should make sure that we treat the animals well. Don't be in a hurry. You know what happens? The people want to cut quickly. They want to slaughter quickly. They want to get home. So animals that are even still alive, they want to skin them already. So this is all out. Islam doesn't teach those things. And it's a very bad impression for Muslims, even with the SPCA.
Just on the topic, we've seen skinning animals alive. It doesn't mean that once the throat is cut, the animal is completely dead, am I right?
Right.
You have to give it a bit of time.
Good question. When we do dars at the office also, when we do lessons with the ulama, we talk about signs of life. Signs of life is the breathing of the animal after slaughter, the eyes moving, the tail moving, the body moving, the legs moving. Those are all signs of life. The animal is still alive. But we learned in the Sadhidi Babatwa those years, the doctor taught us that the animal is completely still. But he still might be alive. How you find out? You poke the eye slightly. A slight poke in the eye. And if it moves, obviously it's still alive. Mm. When you poke the eye and it's still, then you know now the animal is ready for skinning.
See. In today's time, we see that women are also coming to the slaughterhouse, and Nabi Sallam once told us that Aisha, if I'm not mistaken, that she should slaughter her own animal. Uncle Mahmoud, can you tell us about women? Are they allowed to slaughter, and what precautions should be taken for them?
Women are allowed to slaughter animals. Depends how they clad themselves when they go in these public places also. Mm. You know, they shouldn't go with their jeans and all that and bend to slaughter the animal and so on. So Rasulullah SAW taught us that inna mra'atan dhabahat shatan bi hajarin fasu'il nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam dhalik fa amara bi akliha. Once a woman slaughtered a goat with a sharp stone, right? So Rasulullah SAW asked about this, and he gave permission to eat that carcass. So one woman are allowed to slaughter, obviously. Another thing, she used a sharp stone. Now when we use in the kitabs of fiqh, they talk about يَجُوذُ الزَّبْحُ بِالْلِيْتَةِ وَالْمَرْمَرَةِ وَبِكُلِ شَيْءٍ أَنَرَ الدَّمْ إِلَّا سِنَّ الْقَوَيْمُ وَذُفَرَ الْقَوَيْمُ. The kitabs of fiqh, I think it's in Quduri also, if I'm not mistaken, they have that. Now here in South Africa, alhamdulillah, we have knives. We are in towns and so on, we have knives. And that knife must be proportionate to the animal we are slaughtering. If it's a big animal like oxen, you should use a 10 or 12 inch knife. In the case of sheep, you should use a 6 or 8 inch knife. But the kitab is talking about women zaba, yajuzu zaba'u bil-lita. later it's permissible to use a sharp bamboo. Mm. In the forests and deserts and all that, you get a sharp bamboo, you use that for slaughter. Or Walmurwata, you use a sharp stone. Or Wabikulishena on a dam, or anything that can cause blood to flow. Illa Sindal Koim or Zufar Al Koim. You can't use your own teeth and your own nails. Mm. That is barbaric. Rasulullah didn't teach us that. So we are allowed to use anything, like even the bamboo and the sharp stone, and obviously a knife. When we use a knife, also we should see that the knife is very sharp. We see sometimes people come with their own knives at the madrasa also, Darum Zakaria. And they cut and they cut and they cut, nothing happens. That is very traumatic for the animal. And you get tired yourself. So you should ensure. I think here in our Lanesha area, Shanawaz Bucheri, in Nurul Islam, he does professional knife sharpening. And they don't sharpen the whole blade. They sharpen just the part that has to be sharpened. So that's professional sharpening, alhamdulillah. Okay. So we can go there, or you can use a black stone, not Hajar-e Aswad. You can use a black stone, a small stone you buy from these places, and you can wet that stone and use it for sharpening the knife. But it's essential that we sharpen the knife, but not in front of the animal. Like in our abattoirs, our center abattoirs throughout the country. Mm. The masbah is separate, the slaughter area, and then sharpening of the knife is somewhere else. So the animals don't hear that knife being sharpened on that big stone that they use.
We don't realize that it's been a year that the last time we slaughtered. So even during this time, the knife is gone blunt. We should check it up, see if the knife is sharp enough. If it's not sharp enough, let's not wait till the last day.
Yeah.
We have a week or so to go.
Yeah.
Let us make sure that we send our knives for sharpening at this time.
Mm.
And it mustn't happen that when we go there, then we make the animals suffer also.
Right.
Uncle Mahmood, what are the requisites of slaughter?
Okay, this is a very important section of the program. First of all, I did mention the knife must be sharp. Second is, when we place the animal on the ground, while we're placing the animal on the ground, we should already read our niyats. Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lillazi, inna salati nusuki, all those ayats and so on, while we're laying the animal on the ground. Not when it's on the ground, because that takes a lot of time. Right, so an animal must be slaughtered immediately when it goes down on the ground. Now, when we slaughter an animal, of course, after our niyat of qurbani, it's not an ordinary slaughter, it's alhamdulillah, it's a spiritual thing that we are doing, and there's ayats of the Quran that command us to do these things. We should make sure that we read the tasmiyah, the Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. The Holy Quran speaks about, فَكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكْرِ اسْمِ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمِ عَلَيْهِ. Eat that on which Allah Ta'ala's name has been mentioned, and do not eat that on which Allah Ta'ala's name is not mentioned. Now in the Kitabs of Fiqh, they talk about two words they use there. They say Amadan and Nisyanan. One is, Amadan is intentionally leave out the tasmiyah. You say, no, it's not necessary to read tasmiyah. That animal is not halal, right? Because the life of the animal belongs to Allah. Okay. And you take the life of the animal in Allah's name. So you say, and you don't just read Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Don't read long, long nayats. People make long nayats. You don't do that. Another thing we don't do is put water in the animal's mouth. Can you imagine people put water in the animal's mouth before the slaughter? I've seen it many times. Huh? That animal must be given water now, these days. Not when they're dying. Now when they're laying upside down, you try and somebody put water in your mouth while you're laying upside down. It's terrible. You can't do that. And people are doing that type of thing. So when we lay down the animal, another thing is to face Qibla. It is mustahab to face Qibla. It is not compulsory. Likewise, we are also part of the Muslim prison board. This Lyokop prison here in Sunning Hill. That prison, Manana Suhail and Manana Data and them, they do the slaughter there for the inmates there. Halal beef they do there. About 8 carcasses every 2 weeks they do. And everybody eats. One clever jack came there and he said, no, these cattle are not halal, you must face Qibla. So they decided that the Department of Correctional Services, they tried it out, you know. After they stun the animal, they drop it, and they turn that whole massive body towards Qibla. Afterwards they said, oh no man, this is too difficult for us. They cancelled the halal program for a mustahab act.
No.
Huh? So it took Mullah Suhail and them months and months to in Afrikaans they say to subat, you know, to beg them to say, let's get back on track with the halal program. Alhamdulillah, now they're implementing it, they do the slaughter again. Yeah, so what I'm saying, it's mustahab to face the Qibla. If your ox is down already, especially when you don't have a box and you're using the ropes, when that animal goes down, whichever direction it's facing, you must slaughter that animal. When we slaughter the animal, the Kitabs of Fiqh talk about Al-Urukul Lati Tuktu'u Bithakati Arba'atun Al-Hulqum Wal-Mari Wal-Warajan. They talk about four vessels, Arba'atun. The one is the windpipe. That's a big one here in front. Right? And behind it is the food pipe, Wal-Mari. That one is a food pipe. And then Wal-Warajan are the two blood vessels. When you sever the blood vessels, the blood comes out. Now, Alhamdulillah, our Shariat is so fine. When we purify our wealth, we take out the zakat. When the ground is impure, Zakatul Ardi Yubsuha is in Hidayah, they write this, Zakatul Ardi Yubsuha, the purity of the ground is its dryness, the sun beats on it and it takes out all the impurities from there. Our body, like we are, the moment we got ghusl and wudu, so that's how you purify the body. Purifying of the carcass is, yet amazed the Dhamma Najis when Allah mitair. In Hidayah they got, yet amazed the Dhamma Najis, and Allah mitair is a separation from the unclean blood from the pure carcass. So that carcass is not only good for Muslim consumption, but also for human consumption. Because all the blood is out of that animal, and the carcass is now pure. Okay, now when this animal is slaughtered already, we should leave it for a while. Then I did mention now the signs of life and so on. And now we have it ready for skinning. Okay, I think that will come up just now.
Okay.
By the slaughter itself, that's the procedure of doing the slaughter. But the tasmiyah and all those things that we do.
Just a question on there. We say that there are four vessels that need to be slaughtered, right? That need to be cut.
Right.
You mentioned the food pipe, the air pipe, and the two vessels.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. Is there any way that if a person cuts three...
The Kitabs of Fiqh talk about Ihdal Wadajain. Ihdal Wadajain is one of the blood vessels.
Okay.
So the food pipe, windpipe, and one of the blood vessels, if you do that, it's also fine. It's also permissible to eat that carcass.
But the best is all four.
Yeah, all four vessels must be cut.
Is it permissible to use nowadays? We know that people are, you know, the ox is expensive, and people say that, you know what, we'll just wait for the akika, one time, qurbani time. So is it permissible to use, say, one ox? You have seven niyats, can you use it for qurbani and akika together?
Yes, you can. You can use for six shares of oxen of qurbani and one share for akika. Or five shares of qurbani and two shares of akika. You can do that with one ox.
Okay. Also, what is the warning in the hadith for those who can afford to do the qurbani but they decide not to do so? You know, they say that, you know, we're scared of looking at the blood, and today they come with funny excuses.
And some people just deliberately, they don't want to do the qurbani. I think that's implied here also. Rasulullah speaks about من وجد ساعة لا يضحي فلم يضحي فلا يحضر مصلانا. That he who has the means of doing qurbani but does not do it, فلم يضحي فلا يحضر مصلانا, he should not come near our, not even come near or attend our idgah. So strict is a warning regarding those people who deliberately leave out the qurbani.
I think there's another saying also that, you know, if a person doesn't do the qurbani, then he can either die as a Christian or a Jew. Can pregnant animals be used for qurbani? You know, sometimes we don't know that
the animal is expecting. Yes, they can. But you don't now, you look for a pregnant animal to slaughter for qurbani. You find out afterwards that this animal, there's a fetus inside. Like, for example, in Sadi Deep where we worked, I spent 22 years there as a halal inspector. That time through Mia's farm. And there were quite a few fetuses that come through the system. But I want to tell you something very interesting quickly. So once I was standing on the sheep line at the back, and I was observing how they put the sheep onto the conveyor. And one of the sheep, when they put it on the conveyor, now they like sat down onto the conveyor. They sat down. And she gave birth.
On the conveyor.
While it was moving, yeah. While she was moving and other animals. By the time, and I looked down, I saw this a fully grown baby there that came out of the mother. Right. So I ran to the front to tell them, don't slaughter this one. She was already slaughtered because the lines moved 12 sheep per minute. Right? Okay. So then I ran to the veterinarians and I asked them, I said, doctor, now see how fine is our gene, alhamdulillah. That's what I'm trying to prove here. I call the doctor, and doctor say, what Khanan Muhammad? I say, come see quickly, ya, come see me. That's a Baba da honor. So he came, he said, oh, Muhammad, this baby is going to go into quarantine. I say, can't you give this baby milk or something to drink? Mm. He said, no. This baby didn't drink the not the milk, the colostrum, that sticky substance before the milk.
Mm.
That colostrum causes the dirt and tar to come out of the baby. Then only she drinks milk. So this baby got still that tar inside the tear, he told me. The tar inside the body. This baby is going to bloat and die. Naturally. You can't save this baby. This baby hasn't drank already the colostrum from the mother. So I thought immediately, in our kitabs they got, when you find an animal and a baby, when a mother and a baby, slaughter the baby also. 1400 years Rasulullah taught these things, our Sharia taught these things. Huh?
Mm.
And now we're finding out the reality of it. The reason why is that it didn't drink the colostrum from the mother. That's the reason why we have to slaughter the baby also. SubhanAllah.
Uncle Mahmoud, how many shares are stipulated for sheep, cattle and camels?
Right, like we mentioned in the beginning, the cattle, there are 7 shares, of course. Huh? Hmm. And 1 or 2 can be used for akika, like we mentioned. Sheep is 1 share. One person came to me once at the Darul Zakaria. He tells me, you know what, this year I want to cut for Rasulullah's love.
Mm.
I say, oh, very nice, meritorious, very good.
Mm.
And what about yourself? He said, no, I cut last year. So I say, no. If it's wajib for you this year and every year, you must first cut your own because that takes priority, preference, right?
Mm.
Because your wajib one, you must cut first. Then you want to cut for Rasulullah or you want to cut for your grandparents or whoever, that's different. You know what I mean? But yours, you must cut first. So 1 sheep or 1 goat, and of course in camels also, it's also 7 shares, like the ox.
Just a few miscellaneous factors of Qurbani.
Very important, I think one of the important things I want to mention is, before Qurbani, we go to a few farms just to see how the animals are treated.
Mm.
You see the food, the fodder that they eat, is laying on the floor, and they urinate on that feed, and then they don't eat it. So we should ensure that we put it a little bit higher inside, like it's a sort of a container, you know, where they can bite from, so that the food don't lay on the floor and they urinate on that food. Number one. Number two is that the water that they have there is so dirty. I mean, we wouldn't want to drink dirty water. So animals also, they lam yam tik, they can't speak. They can't tell you this water is dirty. So it's ensure that the water is always changed and the water is always clean. And another thing also, space in the kraals that we have. We should have so much space in the kraal that that every single animal can rest. Mm-hmm. You can go down, I think Rasulullah also mentioned, it's in the kitabs there, that these people that load animals with goods, and when they travel far and wide, they travel far, and then they stop with the animals, and they rest, and Rasulullah taught that take the goods of the animal so that they can rest. So what we do, we don't take the goods of the animal, we leave him with the goods on. Mustn't they rest also? So all these precautions Rasulullah taught us. Another thing is I want to mention, miscellaneous factor, is that we should pay for the Qurbani animal. I know a few of my friends who do Qurbani. Last year and the year before, Qurbani isn't paid. Reality, hakikatan is happening. So if this farmer goes to the person, no names mentioned, you owe me for Qurbani, say, what you think I'm going to run away with your money? This is Qurbani animals, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Another thing is you find guys who buy 100 and 200 lambs from a farmer, and the check bounces.
Oh.
I know about it. I know because we are in this field. And he sells that animals like Qurbani animals, and the money, he cups all the money. All the money is gone. The farmer, you know, I remember in the old days when we used to work through Mia's farm, Mufti Ibrahim Sanjabi, Mufti Bashir and that, they used to tell us that those years, the farmer used to have so much respect for our Muslims. Today, a guy dressed like us with a beard and kurta, they don't even want you near the gate. So dishonest our people have become. So we should make sure that these are Qurbani animals. What we are doing to them, or what we are doing about them, we shouldn't give the SPCA one single opportunity to say anything. Now, every year, this we do through, for the benefit of the public, this is done through UCSA, United Ulema Council of South Africa. And we attend SPCA meetings, and we find the amount of complaints they come with. People putting the head of the animal in the blood of the other animal and slaughtering. People chasing. You know, I just want to give the people one tip. Is that if a bull jumps, gets loose from the ropes, don't chase it. Don't chase it. When you chase that bull, he goes wild. Just leave him. Jaibara Madrasa also, if it happens that they jump out, I tell our guys, you just stay there. They calm down later. Now there's a masla in the kitabs then. وَمَسْتَعْنَسَ مِنَ السَّيْدِ فَذَكَاتُ وَالْذَبْحُ. Right? Those hunting animals that have been domesticated, they come in your house, they bump you, they play with the children. That animal, you can't take out a gun and shoot him. You just slaughter it like a sheep, because it's a wild animal species, but he's become domesticated. On the other hand, وَمَا تَوَحَّشَ مِنَ النَّعَمِ فَذَكَاتُ وَالْعَقْرُ وَالْجَرُ. In the case of domesticated animals that become wild, in that case, you hamstring it, al-aqru, wal-jahru, or you wound it before you slaughter it. So there's always a means in the Shariat, alhamdulillah, that a person can... Always a means. Okay, I think time is up. 8 o'clock news will come on now. I hope the people that benefit from our small program.
Uncle Mahmood, Jazakallah for this time that you have given us on Radio Islam. Inshallah, I'm sure that it's of benefit to many of us that haven't come across some of these masail. Now we'll have better knowledge also. Okay. Jazakallah for your time.
I just want to mention one thing, that dua, alhamdulillah, the halal program of the National Muslim Prison Board, Halal Kitchens, throughout the country is monitored by SENA. We head that department, alhamdulillah. Make dua that all the inmates, although the inmates, alhamdulillah, they are Muslim. They are Muslim after all. In an attempt to let them eat halal food, this program runs through SENA, alhamdulillah, through the Department of Correction Services.
Jazakallah, Uncle Mahmood, for your time. Inshallah, we'll speak again next day.
Inshallah. Jazakallah for the opportunity. Ameen. Allah bless our people that are listening also, with good barakah, inshallah.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.